It's a turning point for Indian Point. In a decision being hailed as a victory for environmentalists, the Indian Point nuclear power plant's cooling system has been ruled to violate the Federal Clean Water Act. You may have missed this because it broke late on Friday and was mostly in the media over the weekend. Now, with the water permit denied, the plant faces being closed outright, and it provides 30% of the energy for New York City and Westchester, or it would have to build an expensive and time-consuming new cooling system to improve the quality of water coming out of the plant. That would at least have the effect of saving a lot of fish, but also raising energy prices in the New York area. This ruling does leave some pretty serious questions, therefore, about how the Entergy Corporation, which owns Indian Point up the river from New York City, is going to deal with this. So here to take us through the Friday decision and what it might mean for the plant and electricity in New York and Westchester is David Halpfinger, a Metro political reporter for the New York Times. Hi, David. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we know people have opinions all the time on Indian Point. What do you think about this particular ruling, if you already know about it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Do we need to see this as cheap electricity versus millions of fish? Or, listeners, how would you like to frame this? 212-433-9692. So, David, take us through the ruling that came down on Friday. What was the decision based on? And since they've been using the same cooling system, I presume for decades, why now?
Yeah, it's an interesting saga. When Indian Point was built in the 70s, the two reactors we're talking about, they kind of got in under the wire. In the late 70s, right after they opened up, the state-of-the-art sort of shifted. Indian Point's cooling system, just to give you an idea, it's basically, you got, imagine a pipe sucking in water through a screen out of the Hudson, and the water rushes through and cools things down, then it gets spit out 20 or 30 degrees hotter right back into the river. What the industry transformed into a short time later was something called closed cycle cooling, which is much more like, imagine your car radiator. It's a closed loop, water cycling through, and occasionally you need to top it off, but basically the same water is going around and around and cooling off the plant. Obviously that's a lot more efficient, and some estimates say it would require only 2% of the water that they're now drawing out of the Hudson. And it would, of course, kill 2% or 5% or whatever of the number of fish. Anyway, so they got in under the wire, along with many, many nuclear plants of the same era. And since then, the opponents of the plant have been trying to shut it down on a number of fronts, but this is one that's really picked up steam in the last 5 to 10 years. There have been two tracks going on in New York, two legal tracks by which the opponents, including Riverkeeper and Pete Seeger and so on, have been trying to block the plant. And they both concern environmental permits pertaining to the Clean Water Act. And the environmentalists, the opponents, have had some success in the last couple of years. In 2008, the state DEC, the Environmental Commission, basically declared that the cooling system was killing fish. And a state judge last year agreed. That's one track involving a state permit, but there's a second, which is too complicated to explain, but there's an annual recurring permit that has to be issued, et cetera. Meanwhile, Indian Point's 40-year permit from the federal NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the permits of the two plants are expiring in a few years, in 2013 and 2015. And to get a new permit, that opens up a whole other case where they need to have a certification, in this case by the state, that they're in compliance with the Clean Water Act. And that affords the opponents another opportunity to get in the way. And here they are making the same case, which, again, the state found that the plant's in violation. So last year, Entergy, the corporation that owns the plant, applied for this necessary permit. It's actually a prerequisite for their license. And on Friday, just under 12 months later, the state came down and said, you know what, you're killing too many fish, you're leaking radioactive material through the groundwater into the Hudson. This is all bad. The state-of-the-art 35 or 40 years ago became this once through, the closed cycle cooling. You've known this, you've been delaying the day, it's time to pay up or shut down. So that's where we're at.
Talk a little bit more about the actual pollution and the actual effects on the river. I think your Times article puts it mostly in the context of heat being generated, ironically, from the cooling plant. I guess stand on the wrong side of any refrigerator and or air conditioner, and you'll see why cooling systems generate heat. Somebody will come up with a better design someday. But this cooling system generates heat into the water, and that does what? Does it kill a certain kind of fish, and a certain estimated number of fish?
Yeah,
Is it only the fish? What are the environmental effects?
I actually think that the my layperson's grasp of this is that it's not so much the heat that's coming off that does the most of the fish killing. And it's not just fish. We're talking larvae, plankton, you know, fish eggs, all kinds of stuff. But it's the drawing in. It's the intake, I think. You've got, when you go back to that idea of the big pipe sucking things in, it's, of course, sucking lots of things that can't get filtered right into the works, and you know, in which where they get killed, and also it's got screens on the outside to prevent fish from getting caught. But the drawing in creates that that pressure, the sucking, if you will, and they're getting pinned, or I think it's called impinged against the screens, which is where a lot of fish are killed as well. So that's where the fish die, is on the on the intake side.
Uh-huh.
I could be wrong. There may be some. I think there are effects of the heat elevation as well, but I'm just not as versed in them.
Okay, and that by itself, what you just described, would cost like $1 billion to fix? So
well,
they say.
Of course, the company, Entergy, came out in February with a sort of an almost 11th hour idea for something much less expensive and much less catastrophic for them as a company. They came up with some new idea for something called wedge wire screens, which I think are basically an improved version of filtration that they think would divert most of the fish and so on away from the intake. The state basically said no dice, and you know they're going to make the case in court presumably that you know they didn't get a fair hearing of this, that this really can work and it should work and give us a chance and we'll see. And so you can imagine that this will proceed through the courts for some time before it's resolved.
And the Times editorial on this today says the plant sucks up 2.5 billion gallons of water a day, circulates it through the system, and then dumps it back into the river, hotter and untreated. This kills almost a billion fish, fish larvae, eggs, and other aquatic organisms each year. And
that's
says
right.
The damage was starkly illustrated by New York State's recent decision to close the Hudson to all fishing for American shad, one of several fish species in steep decline, partly because of the power plants. Are there said to be any human health implications of this pollution, as far as you know?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say no. On the other hand, that's not the emphasis so far. Much more attention is being given to, you know, on one level, the fish as the primary, and the aquatic life. Well, and also the recreational value of the Hudson and so on. And I think it also can affect drinking water, of course. But more attention is being given to sort of the direct and you know easily imagined victims of this. But there's also we shouldn't ignore a couple of things. First of all, the economics of what's at stake here are hugely important to the city and to the region, and also to this company, Entergy. It's pointing out the fix that the environmentalists in the state are proposing, these cooling towers, which there'd be two of them and they'd be almost the size of Yankee Stadium, according to the company. They'd straddle the plant up in Buchanan, and they'd cost, you know, anywhere from a few hundred million to over a billion, as you said. The company says that these things would throw off particulate pollution anyway, and that then thus, you know, would be unable to get their own permits, and so this is not really a fix. It's hard to say. Meantime,
mm-hmm.
There's also the fact that they say that to build those things, they'd have to shut down the entire both reactors for like almost a year, the mind reels trying to imagine how New York and Westchester would get their power for that, 42-month period. And also, there's a political dimension here which we haven't talked about, which is, according to some of the opponents who are feeling very good about this victory, they were telling me on Saturday that they were not surprised that the state came down with this decision, and B, had been hearing from inside the environmental commission at the state level that there was a sort of palpable feeling of pent up frustration from the Pataki administration and beyond, the sort of sense that the state had been allowing Indian Point to just skate on its old permit and continue to keep renewing its permits, that they were sort of looking for the chance to drop this hammer. And so it's kind of interesting to see that play out.
David Helpfinger from the New York Times Metro Desk reporting on the new turning point for Indian Point, with the federal EPA ruling it in violation of the Clean Water Act, a potential fix to, as you just heard David describing, possibly shut down some of the plant's functions for a while and cost a lot of money. So as you can imagine, a lot of people are calling in on this, including Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, who represents the area, who we're going to go to second. But first, let's take Roger in Cortland Manor. The number that we've been using for how much energy New York City and Westchester get of their energy from Indian Point, I've been going with your New York Times number of 30% of New York City's energy supply and Westchester's energy supply. But Roger, in addition to one other caller, want to dispute that number. So Roger from Cortland Manor, hi, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Okay. You think we get a lot less energy from Indian Point than that?
Well, it's not a matter of what I think. If you talk to Con Ed or the ISO, you'll find that 30%, while 30% of the energy Con Ed gets is from nuclear power, that's not all from Indian Point, and it's a common misconception. They get it from the 6 nuclear plants in the state as well as 3 in New Jersey. The Indian Point plants produce roughly 2,000 megawatts at a time. That's their limit. New York and Westchester County, which is one area, use between 9,000 and 13,000 a day, which, third-grade math, that's 15 to 18%. Again, the 30% comes from all of the plants, not just from Indian Point.
Okay, Roger, thank you for that. And David, the New York Times number, as I see it, is 30% of the electricity used in New York City and Westchester from Indian Point. That's what's in the editorial today. Did you report this out yourself?
I didn't verify the numbers. I actually lifted them from prior articles. So if the caller is right, we may have a correction to do. But I'll check into it.
Okay. Worth checking. Roger, thank you very much. Now we'll take Assemblyman Brodsky, Democrat from Westchester. Assemblyman, you're on the air. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Nice to be back with you, Brian.
Do you represent the area that includes Indian Point?
Just south of it, right along the Hudson River near the Tappan Zee Bridge.
So you represent some residents who might be at risk from one thing or another there, but not the plant itself.
That's correct.
And your position?
Well, I brought the lawsuit with Pete Seeger that the Times article refers to today, that essentially say that this is the largest single source of pollution probably in the history of the river, that they've been given illegal treatment for years, and that the fix, which is this closed-cycle system, is doable and would be required of any other large industrial facility. The time has come for Entergy to stop taking 2.5 billion gallons a day of a public resource, not paying for it, polluting it, returning it to the river, and then looking at everybody and saying, what should we do? There is one additional wrinkle here that's worth noting. Because of the way we sell electricity in New York, the cost of building the closed cycle system would not be a cost to ratepayers. It would be a cost to the company. So if you'll note, even from the supporters of current status at Indian Point, they never allege that there'd be an economic impact to the region if we stop polluting the river. I can explain the technical stuff, but I guess in the end the point is these guys have been given special treatment for decades. We had to bring a lawsuit to stop it. The state finally has come down and said, no, the law applies to Entergy just like it applies to everyone else, and that the fix is both economically feasible and nowhere near as technically difficult as people have suggested.
Do they have the resources as, I guess, a government-regulated monopoly distributor of power to the area? Do they have the resources to absorb those extra expenses without passing them on to ratepayers?
They have more than the resources. And I want to point out, Brian, they are not a regulated monopoly utility. Con Ed is the regulated monopoly utility.
Yeah.
Entergy is a power producer. And they make, at the Indian Point plant, a 60 to 70% profit annually because of a matter you and I have discussed briefly, something called the ISO, the Independent Service Operator, where Entergy receives the highest price in the market every day, not the lowest, for its power. Now, it's a technical stuff. We can discuss it in detail if you like, but the point is that they export literally hundreds of millions of dollars a month to New Orleans, to the headquarters of Entergy. It is out of that revenue stream that this plant, this new closed cycle cooling would be built. It would not be reflected in the rates that people pay for electricity to Con Ed.
David Hauptfinger, as a reporter, do you know what Entergy would say to that?
Yeah, I think they'd say they'd rather not. But they're not exactly open to the idea of discussing really going down this road. Their position is this is just, they actually tried to claim that the decision issued on Friday was just a draft when it wasn't. You know, they really don't want to get into a discussion of what hypothetically they'll have to do if they lose. They don't want to even admit the possibility that they could. Mm.
And so, Assemblyman, if they refuse to do this, do you recommend that the plant actually be shut down by the federal government?
It's not a matter of recommending. You got to look at it from Entergy's point of view. They're on the one hand trying to get this license extended for 20 years. They know that in that process they have to show compliance with state water quality standards. At the same time they're seeking that extension, they are vigorously fighting having to be in compliance with state water quality standards. This was a corporate miscalculation of the highest order. And the secrecy and the sort of the spinning that you're getting from Entergy right now is because they're essentially caught in this this trap of their own making.
Would you like to see Indian Point shut down? Is that your ideal?
I would like to see it. Yeah, in the end, the answer is yes. But the reasons for that have to do with the fact that it is not cheaper. It is not necessary for the load. It is not. It is polluting the river. It is dangerous. And if you put those things together, there is no compelling case for the public to keep it operating. If they cannot show that, they don't even claim anymore it's cheaper. Their slogan is safe, secure, and vital. They don't really have any economic argument because of this silly pricing system we have in New York. So what's left are the measurable extra dangers, the measurable pollution, extra pollution, and this failure to abide by the law.
And just before I let you go, Assemblyman, you said the load is not an issue, the electricity load. Do you also dispute the 30% figure? And whatever that figure is, even if it's just 15% of the electricity that New York City and Westchester get from Indian Point, is that really a load that we can live without?
I don't want to be glib about this, Brian, but the number is not 30%. It's lower. But the problem in New York is not the existence of load. It's the existence of transmission facilities. We in the state, frankly, have more electricity than we consume, so that there are responses and fixes to every one of these problems in ways that, frankly, will save people money, stop the pollution of the river, and allow us to finally rationally decide how we should treat nuclear facilities 30 miles from the city of New York.
Assemblyman Richard Brodsky of Westchester, thank you very much for calling in. He was one of the plaintiffs in the suit that has resulted in this turning point for Indian Point. And David Hauptfinger, New York Times correspondent, covering the story. Before you go, what happens next?
Well, this is going to wind its way through the procedural process, the administrative process. I guess Entergy looks like it has the right to request some sort of hearing. before an administrative law judge with the DEC. Meanwhile, you know, Mr. Brodsky himself told me the other day that he expects it's highly likely that they'll take their case to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which has been far more sympathetic in the past to the needs of the industry. So we'll see. You know, one wonders if the critics and the opponents here win, and this denial of the water quality certificate stands, you know, what will happen, and will the battle shift to Washington? And given the Obama administration's push for nuclear power, you know, and yet it's more liberal position on the environment than prior administrations, one wonders whether they're going to have to kind of wrestle with this in earnest.
All right. David Helfinger, Metro political reporter for The New York Times, covering the Indian Point story. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the Tea Party and Black America, with Black Tea Party supporter Lenny McAllister. Stay tuned.